Hello, Scott Curry.
Hello, Stephen Knoll.
We are here today to talk about a very special album.
And a very special man.
That man is Sufjan Stevens.
And his album,
Carrion Lowell. I always say Lowell.
I don't imagine calling the man Lowell. Hey, Lowell. It would be, hey, Lowell.
Yeah, Lowell is weird to me.
Lowell Stevens? I don't know if he's Stevens. Probably not. I think it was his stepdad.
Probably.
So anyways,
the album. Tell me what you thought. Just not going through anything in depth, but just first impressions. What do you think?
I don't know if I want to give my first impressions without going into it.
Is it because it's going to be a crazy controversy?
No, not a controversy. Just I want to explain myself fully.
Too bad.
I don't want to get people too angry too fast.
You will. Well, how are we going to get listeners unless we anger them?
I hate this album.
There you go.
No, I don't.
That's what I want to hear.
It's not all about listeners, Steven. I thought the album was not half bad, actually. I listened to it with my girlfriend, and it was an interesting experience for me. I don't even know what to say to it. You go first.
All right. First impressions.
I have no first impressions.
Okay. I will say this for me. Speaking as reviewing this as an album.
Yes.
There are huge problems with it. I do not enjoy it. And I have much more negative things to say about it than positive things.
Okay.
That is not to say that I think all the songs are bad. If I were to go along with many of these songs individually, I think I would have a lot more good things to say. But as an album, it's a disappointment. I don't like it. I will not go back to it. I will go back to some songs.
Okay.
There's some good stuff here. But I will never listen to this album through from beginning to end.
Okay, so today I guess I'll have to play Fangirl's Advocate.
you may have to simmer
you down a bit.
Yeah.
Make you think otherwise. Because I can agree with you on a lot of things.
Okay.
I probably will.
Yeah.
But I'll
bet you'll play Fangirl Advocate?
Fangirl's Advocate.
Does Sufjan have fangirls?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, man. Probably.
I don't know. I feel like everyone that I know...
Half of
like,
my
oh,
friends.
Yeah, he's okay.
Yeah.
They like him for different... I mean, yeah. I guess his name is... At least his name is known very well.
Yeah. People know him.
Yeah. All right. So let's start musically through the album.
I was just going to go through it.
Yeah. Start explaining yourself, I guess. Or to your journey through the album musically.
Yeah. We got... Death with Dignity. It was a interesting melody. It's actually one of my standout tracks.
Okay.
First impression, not half bad. I thought, and it was probably because it was the first song.
Mm-hmm.
Ready for a Sufjan album. Nice picking. Mm-hmm. Sufjan sings pretty.
I was about to say, let me guess, does it start with a picking guitar?
Yeah.
Oh, trusting.
I have things to say, about that.
Yeah.
But I actually, after going through the whole album, I did find that melody more interesting than a lot of the others.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked the slide guitar at the end.
Mm-hmm. I also agree with that wholeheartedly. Because at the beginning, I thought, I don't know what I'm going to do with all this picking guitar. And then the ending, I have a problem with it because it led absolutely nowhere.
Yeah.
But while I was listening to it, I... absolutely fully enjoyed that slide guitar and those sort of in and out voices. It was a very interesting ending.
Yeah, I find
that
this
song.
Album in general to be lacking in tones.
Mm-hmm.
There's
yeah.
one, and it's iPhone recording.
It's picking guitar and then it's doubled vocals.
But I really appreciated the slide guitar.
Yes.
and the harmonies he did within that around the slide guitar were really interesting in
mm-hmm.
comparison to a lot of other things. So musically. And it's a little weird talking about this album because it's not a very musical album in general.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's not a whole lot of instruments.
No.
Not a so whole lot of things.
So, getting into that, there's mm-hmm. going to be a lot of repetition.
Yeah, this song really exemplifies what I think we'll find talking with a lot of these tracks is there will be things that I say that I really, really, really like, and almost all the things that I really like, I don't like in context of the album.
Yeah.
So, like this, it started off and I was like, this is nice, the melody's nice, and then it... And then the ending started, and I thought, this is interesting. This slide guitar, these voices, this is very interesting. I am excited to see where it leads. And then I had the misfortune of looking at the track list and seeing that Should Have Known Better, which is the single from this album, which we reviewed earlier, was next. And because I already knew that song, I was like, dang it, this ending is not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
It's not going to go into any new song with any new tones. It's not going to set up anything. It's just going to end a song. And on that song alone, I think it's fine. But in the context of the album, it just goes back to picking, and you're like, oh, that was
I guess the end of that song.
Yeah, that's the end.
Oh well.
All right, continue on with your musical exploration of this album.
Well, that's that song. Then that's it goes it. Into Should Have Known Better, and we've mm-hmm. already talked about that a lot.
Very nice song.
Yeah, not bad. Good choice for his single, I think. So I think I'm gonna move right along past that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All of me wants all of you, and I immediately thought of is it John Legend? I don't know the song. All of me loves all of you, because I had to sing that at my friend's wedding, and I thought it was hilarious. It was the
Wait, let me guess. Does it start with picking?
It does.
Like some guitar. We're
gonna have to move past
and maybe some like doubled vocals.
Yes. We're going to have to move past that, Steven, for the sake of the listeners.
Well, the album doesn't move past it, so I don't know how we're going to move past it.
You, personally, you take it personally.
All right, keep going.
Actually, I don't have much to say. It's a classic Sufjan progression. The most things that should be said about this album, it seems, are lyrical.
Mm-hmm.
We can get into that later, but I don't have much at this point.
Yeah. Any other musical highlights?
Not in that song, no. Yeah. And then it's Drawn to the Blood. I really like the guitar.
I have written down dynamic strumming was good. Like the fact that he was dynamic in how he played the guitar.
Yeah.
But like, because picking is very nice, but it's very not like he's picking the strings very static. Each string had the same amount of emphasis on it. Each rhythm had the same emphasis, and now to Drawn to the Blood, all of a sudden you had this strumming, and it was dynamic.
It wasn't even strumming. Really cool thing, and I love doing it, and I've been working on songs with it, but you basically take all four fingers, or all four, if you have four fingers, take like four or five fingers, place them each on a string,
uh-huh.
and then you just pull up on them. Juk, 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 juk.
Oh, interesting.
And I love it, because it gave this, like, synthetic, like it was almost synthy,
mm-hmm.
and there were certain overtones that came through and just the way they mixed it, and I really loved it, and I just really wanted it all the time.
That's very, and that's I think part of the reason why I really liked it. It was something different. It was dynamic. It had range of, you know, he could play it a bit louder, a bit more aggressive, and you could hear the guitar tone change rather than just being the static
and
boring thing.
I've talked about influences coming, like when I was talking about last time, Steve Reich. Mm-hmm. There's also guys like John Adams. There's two songs in this album that remind me of them a little bit, and that's one of them. That mm-hmm. constant pulse, like it's always going juk 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 juk. And I think that is definitely a highlight on the album. And the offbeat synth, it wasn't cutesy like in Should Have Known Better. It was actually, mm-hmm. it actually added something, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So Drawn to the Blood is definitely a highlight for me on the album. You can go to Eugene.
Yeah, all right. I'll take the next couple songs. Eugene, I liked. It was short. It was, again, it's one of those songs where, taken as a song, I really enjoyed it. Taken in the album, I got really bored of it. Because it was the same picking. Eugene specifically, I enjoyed that he changed up themes lyrically, which we'll get into, as well as just the melody. I thought it was a standout melody for me. Like you said, Death with Dignity was a standout melody for you. I thought Eugene was the first one that really, I thought, oh man, I really, really enjoy that. And I would listen to this song again just for that vocal melody.
Yeah.
But it's a short, it's like a 2 minute 40, you know, there really is only his doubled vocals and his guitar. And that's it. Moving through 4th of July.
Actually, before you do, I want to summarize the first like 5 songs or 4 songs.
Gotcha.
And what I found, and this was the thing just with writing that I was, speaking only musically still, I was a little disappointed with, was the they progressed the exact same way.
Absolutely.
The first 4, mm-hmm. it was guitar picking, his double vocal voice.
Repeating verses.
Very repetitive, like just kind of keep going. Then he would introduce a new tone, mm-hmm. be it like soft piano or his little synth. He had, it was synth, then it was piano,
mm-hmm.
slide guitar, and then synth again.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would introduce more voices, often like female or something, or himself doing something over top, and then it would disperse into this ethereal,
and then it would start picking again,
jumbery, and then there'd be a little bit of picking or something like that. And I really liked it at first because I'm like, oh yeah, that's a nice for that song, cool. But
for 5 songs to start an album,
it's
tiring.
It is.
It's tiring to get through it.
Like, a part of me wants to buy into it, but I did find it to be a bit much. If you're in a mood where you just want to lie face first on the ground and listen to, like, kind of sad noises, it works because nothing changes. And that is kind of the mood of this album a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, he does that, but at the same time, if I'm trying to listen to this where I'm not purely using it as an emotional tool,
mm-hmm.
I don't find it very interesting, which is a little unfortunate. However, there are some good moments in there. But then we'll move on to 4th of July.
4th of July was a standout for me. The 2 standout tracks for me are the 2 that don't start with picking. this being one of them.
Yeah.
You know, started with, I think, piano in this one.
Yeah.
Piano in this one, you know, still a pretty basic beat, pretty stripped down, bare vocals and all of that. Again, a bit short, but yeah, I liked it, and I liked the lyrics of this one a lot. This one... It's funny, because this one, if I were to take alone as a song, I wouldn't like it as much, because it's in an album where it starts with 5 songs that are very similar.
Yeah.
This one felt really good to me, as well as the lyrical significance of it, I felt was very good, which we'll get into. So, you know, 4th of July was a nice break, and then it went into, 2 more... picking songs.
Yeah,
4th of Carry and Lowell a bit faster, but yeah, I don't know if you have anything to say
about
those
3,
really.
Just 4th of July. 4th of July, I'll say, as I said earlier to you, it reminds me of John Hopkins. John Hopkins is a British producer. He produced Coldplay, Viva La Vida, or he had influence. He actually was kind of like a, I don't want to say a ghostwriter, but he wrote the Escapist for... The Escapist, that's a hidden track after Death and All of His Friends.
Oh, I see.
And he actually wrote that song.
Oh, really?
And it's on one of his albums, and they put it on Viva La Vida. And there were a few piano pieces that he wrote for them.
Yeah.
And he's actually really, really good. Some of his piano pieces. And it reminds me of him. So if you like 4th of July, I would recommend John Hopkins to you. He also does some electronica stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the melody reminds me, and this I want to people to hear it just so they can find out for me. But there's the melody. It's like, na, 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 na. And I'm sure it's several melodies, but there's one in particular that it reminds me of, and I can't figure it out. So if you have any idea, tell me what you think it is. Because it reminds me of something else. The sky on the 4th of July. Well, you do enough talk, my little hawk. Why do you cry? Tell me what. Yeah, the only thing. I don't know what the song is called, actually. I don't have it written down. What's it called?
The only thing?
I have the only thing dot dot dot, but there was more words.
Oh, was there? Yeah. Shoot, I had the abbreviate. At that point, you know, my first note is back to picking.
Yeah,
yay.
My thing was I felt the same as Eugene, where and for me, the Eugene actually really liked the progression, but this one I didn't feel too much about it. Like this one actually, what I felt was it was really sing-alongable in comparison to some, because he does some weird things and he goes to high registers.
Mm-hmm.
But this, I imagined it around a campfire and people wanting to sing, relax and sing stuff. Yeah, I was like, you know what? This one is a bit more attainable for the average voice and catchy.
Mm-hmm.
However, often I sang John Wayne Gacy Jr. at a high school. It was called Yale Idol. It was a talent show. And I sang John Wayne. There was like some girl who sang some pop songs. And I sang John Wayne Gacy Jr. It was about a serial rapist. So singing Sufjan songs at like gatherings and stuff generally doesn't go over very well. People didn't really applaud much. Anyways.
And you were scarred forevermore.
Yeah. It was rough.
Yeah. Moving on. Kerry and Lowell. Lowell?
Lowell. Is that how you say it? That's where I'm going.
Faster picking. I don't know, picked it up a bit still.
This is the other one where I saw the Steve Reich and John Adams influence.
Okay, yeah. There were some cool things in, there were some cool digital things in here.
Yeah.
Sort of a bit of like background wave type noise and, you know, these digital synth type things that were affected in certain ways, which I feel like my feeling from this, again, as a song, I think I enjoyed it and could pick out these things that I enjoyed in the album. I was at a point where like I didn't really want to listen to it too intently, because I had been like, the album in the first five songs pretty much just teaches me, this is what you're going to expect, this is the song structure that we're using. So like, you know, 4th of July changed it up a bit, but then it went right back to it with The Only Thing. And so when Kerry and Lowell came on, I was sort of like, there might be some stuff, but really it's more picking and the same song structure. And so I didn't, the things that I like about it, which were some good things, and it's kind of a cool song, but I, in context of the album, it wasn't in a good place for me to appreciate it very much. So, I don't know if you have anything to say about that song.
I tuned out for 1 second while you were talking, because I was moving ahead in my mind. And then I was gonna expand on something you said, and I can't for the life of me figure.
Yeah, that's alright.
Yeah, going back to that standard.
Okay,
cause
gotcha.
Every standout track I have are the songs basically that just move away from that standard.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It may have been on purpose, just because he didn't want the focus to be so much on the music as opposed to the story. Instead of creating a musical masterpiece, create a headspace or just something for you to kind of get lost in and hear the words, which can be used well, but I think there could have been more interesting things happening like, instead of having a standard progression and feel, like, pick something, like, have something unique about each one that is giving you a new headspace, giving you a new emotion. And I didn't feel like it was given to me exactly. It was pretty consistent all the way through. So Carrie and Lowell, I heard it, like, it was one of the first ones, obviously, because he released it early. But by this point in the album, it was, yeah, I wasn't super engaged.
Did I mention how much I hate Devil's vocals?
Yes, you did.
Well, I hate them, but this next song did not have doubled vocals, and I fell out of my chair and lied on the ground in relief, because, and I'm not joking.
I believe it.
Because the first time I listened through this album, because the two singles that he released, I believe, were Should Have Known Better and Carrie and Lowell.
Yeah.
And I listened to those, both double vocals, and I had listened to the first 8 songs, and it was all doubled vocals, and I thought, this is it. That's what the album's going to be, and that's fine, okay? And then all of a sudden, the song called John, My Beloved comes on. And one, it starts off with a new tone, somewhat similar to 4th of July. It's sort of a, it's a slightly different...
I have things to say about that tone.
Yeah, it's...
You go ahead, though.
I couldn't quite tell if it was piano or if it was a keyboard of some sort. If it was, it sounded maybe a bit more digital. I couldn't quite tell, but then his voice came in.
I have theories.
With no doubled vocals.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't... That's a standout track only for that reason. I don't remember it for a lot of it. I have written down that it doesn't go anywhere, and that it's similar to the... piano is similar to the first... Like, I have a few things written down that are negatives, but I don't remember much about this song other than that there were no doubled vocals, and I now love this song. In context of the album, which I will never listen to fully again, so I may go back to this song and hate it.
This whole process of going through albums is really good for me. It allows me to really form an opinion for myself, even, just of like, oh, now I know that these are the songs I'm going to listen to.
Yeah, because
if I just listened to this once through before, I would have just kind of been like, oh, okay, well.
This happens and this happens.
But for me, that is also a standout track. I have 4, and this is the last one for me.
It doesn't end very well, does it?
But John, My Beloved, I think what he did, because you pointed out it's like a piano, but there's something weird about it. And this is because Rhodes pianos, they're actual bells in there.
Yeah.
And you amplify those. They're like mic'd and they're amplified, and that's how you get the Rhodes electric piano feel. I think what he did was he stuck a microphone or something into the Rhodes.
I see.
And just played the Rhodes unamplified.
Mm-hmm.
So it was super... Because when you play it, like, you can... If you're just sitting at a Rhodes, you hear so much plunk and just a little bit of the note. And that's basically what you got. But he put the mic, obviously, right by the bells.
Yeah, and so put a lot of reverb on it.
So it evened out a little bit. And I thought it was really interesting, actually. And so... But that was just the producer in me. Like, I was like, oh, that's... I want to experiment with those sorts of things.
You
want to
know how he did it.
Because
it is an interesting tone. And that's, like, honestly, the first like, interesting tone that I heard. Like, all the rest of it is fine and dandy, but it's been done before. I've heard it before.
Yeah, you can use, like, the tones more. Like, that song specifically, like, that Rhodes, it wasn't, like, something that was so obscure. It's like, oh, don't do that again, because that... kind of threw me off. Oh, you could have put that in, inserted that in 2 other spots, had it split the album up a little bit more, and I would have been stoked about it.
It could have been used much more.
Yeah, and the piano, like, there's only one, like, real piano song, 4th of July, but it wasn't, he didn't really do that, and I was a little confused, because, like, you can play the piano, you can do nice piano things, you have an interesting tone coming out of this weird Rhodes thing. I would love to hear that more.
So, super good track.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed it.
I do like that track.
Moving on to the last two. No Shade in the Shadow of the Cross. We'll talk more when it comes to vocals.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you had a lot to say, but just from the title, I thought that this would have a lot to say. But it went back to doubled vocals, and I was very sad. And it was more picking. And there you go. And then the last song. Well, yeah. Sorry. Do you have anything to say about?
Not a whole lot. I'm kind of wrapping up the whole thing here.
Yeah.
For me, John the Beloved was the end of the album.
Yeah, exactly.
And he made it seem like it too, because after John My Beloved, there was a really long break. He did this kind of Sufjan breath thing where he kind of breathes into the mic, like again after John Wayne Gacy Jr. And then there was just a long break, and I kind of started to sit up, and I'm like, are we done? And then I was like, I'm just going to wait it out. And I'm like,
and then guess what? Some more picking.
There was two more songs. Yeah, and for me, like, I was able to get back into the headspace and listen to the two, and it was okay. But I was like, it was kind of like, I don't know if you've ever been to a concert, but you see a band and they do their final song. You're like, that was amazing. And then they do their encores. Like, oh, your encores just weren't as good. I would have shied left after your final one.
I've never had that specifically, but I can imagine that.
Mike had happening. That with Foo Fighters. They played Everlong, and he did leave after Everlong. Yeah, he's like, I don't want to hear anything else.
Yeah, no. To wrap up the music section, I just want to read for you verbatim my notes of Blue Bucket of Gold, which is the last song on the album, and this is, mind you, my third time through the album all the way through. And I said, reverb piano, boo. Bored, want it to end. Reverb ending sucks. I hate everything.
S-U-X.
Yeah, that's. I was so bored, I couldn't even write two more letters into that word.
I treat Sufjan like drugs. And I don't do drugs. Let that be known.
So you don't listen to Sufjan? That's what you're saying?
I treat him like drugs, as in I avoid him at all costs.
Oh, I see.
No, my point was that, like, I talked a lot about, like, headspace and stuff like that. If I'm going to really get into Sufjan, I kind of just have to turn off the lights and think about nothing. And not accept it as, like, music. It's more of a trip. And that comes from my listening to things like Steve Reich and John Adams, because they were the minimalist movement, and it's trance music. It was the beginnings of trance music.
Okay.
And so you have these, like, 50-minute things where by the end of it, you're spaced out and you don't know what's happening. It's constantly the same thing throughout the whole thing. And when I got into those, I was able to listen to these hour-long things while still being super stoked on it. And so listening to this,
You were in a trance.
You're in a trance. you just get lost in the sounds he's creating, no matter how the same they are. But the problem is, he's being a folk artist. He's not being a trance musician. It's not an hour and a half of the same thing exactly. I can't quite get into the trance I want to get into to actually enjoy it as I would that the other music.
Okay.
But I can see what he's doing. And so when there's a last song like that, like bringing it back to what has been consistent throughout the whole album, all of these similar themes musically and this fast plucking, like stuff for you to get lost in, I can see why he did that. I just didn't feel like it was necessary, because John, My Beloved brought me out of that in a way that, to me, suggested that this is over.
This is the end. Yeah.
And to go into it felt like it was a new thing I had to try and re-enter,
but it was so short.
I didn't want it.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Okay. That's an interesting point of view. I would have never thought of that.
He's drugs.
He is drugs.
Yeah, man.
That's all we can say.
You've been hooting the soof.
Hooting the soof.
I regret saying that.
Oh my goodness.
We can edit this out. We can edit that out.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
That's the best saying I've ever heard. I want there to be a drug called Stuff That You Hoot. Hooting the Stuff.
Anyways.
Okay, let's move on to lyrics.
Ooh, yeah.
I don't know how much you have to say. I don't have a huge amount to say. I don't know. Maybe I'll just go through real quickly and sort of highlight a couple of things. I mean, for the most part, it's about his step-parents hooting the stuff. Which his step-parents did hoot the stuff.
Oh, yeah.
In a manner of speaking.
Presumably.
Yes, presumably. But yes, it's all about his parents. Mostly his mother. And his mother dying in 2012, which affected him greatly. In both grief and all those sorts of things. So he talks a lot about that, a lot about the grief, a lot about depression, all those sort of things. It's sort of, for the most part, I kind of felt the same way about the lyrics that I did about the music, and that, like, it was all about one thing and sort of the same, like, the verse sort of, I don't know, started off talking about some vague feelings that he had, and then the chorus always brought it back to his mother or his home life, and then it ended with a variation on the verse that changed some way that he felt about his mother. And I felt that sort of carried through most of these songs.
Yeah.
And I was sort of like, okay. I mean, he's saying some cool things and about, you know, how he dealt with that grief and all that, which is why one of my standout tracks lyrically is Eugene, because it breaks that mold and just talks about a totally different character, which is Eugene, which in the song I think is his swimming teacher.
Classic song about a swimming teacher.
Yeah, which I guess, I mean, because his parents weren't there for him especially, I think. He explains in the song that he felt his swimming teacher was the first real father figure that he had, and wanting to be close and, you know, hang out with this guy, but obviously it's his swimming teacher, so.
Yeah.
So you can't really.
So I you can only go so far till you get into huge legal issues.
So I really like that because it sort of broke the mold, in the way that, like, 4th of July and John, My Beloved did musically. I thought Eugene did lyrically. That being said, 4th of July, which I think at this point is my favorite track on the album, because it broke it up musically, I think it as well breaks it up lyrically, in not necessarily the overall themes of what it's saying, because it's him talking about his mother, talking about his relationship with his mother. But he uses all throughout these animal metaphors and rhymes. And you know, it seems like he's almost having a conversation with his mother. And there's all these rhymes with, you know, hawk and firefly and all these cool animal imagery.
Yeah.
And I listening to it, all of a sudden, because, you know, you get to know the lyricist's vernacular pretty quickly. If it's derivative, like, he's using a lot of the same words, he's using a lot of the same metaphors.
Yeah.
Or using them in the same way. But all of a sudden, 4th of July came on, and all of a sudden, you know, I haven't heard him use words like hawk and firefly.
Hawk
and firefly.
Hawk and firefly.
Hawk and firefly.
Good band name.
There are others, but I didn't write them down, so... But, yeah, I don't know, to me, I really enjoyed that all of a sudden I was hearing these different words and I was getting this different imagery from him. So that I really enjoyed lyrically. Other than that, I don't think I have a lot that made a lot of sense to me. But those were the two obvious ones for me. So I'll let you... talk now, jump in on either responding to either of those and maybe adding if you had any other points.
I don't have huge thought on specific songs, just general feels throughout the album, and For me, I felt about his lyrics a similar way I've sometimes felt about my past lyrics. Because for me, in the beginning, music was so... it was self-medication. Like, I needed that, and that was how I expressed my feelings about things I was going through.
Mm-hmm.
And I would write these songs that were basically direct retellings of events that would happen in my life, and I... every line was soaked with meaning for me.
Mm-hmm.
But what you get is this kind of, like, it's very jumpy. Here's a thing that happened. Here's an event that took place. And here's the second part of that event. And for me, I'm like, yeah, that led to that. Obviously, I remember.
Mm-hmm. But then the audience says,
why is what? There all of a sudden this thought
yeah,
here?
Yeah, because that event didn't happen to them.
Yeah, they don't know everything that took place. And they don't know why a line, like, why does that have meaning? And so I would find these things and be like, oh, that kind of reminds me of, like... and I think Tori and I talked about it after we listened to it the first time. And she talked about... giving her credit, she she pointed out, like, I'm just like surprised that he like shared this, like, because it's such a personal thing, like, it is what he's using this for, like, it is about the death of his mother and stuff like that, and writing music to cope with that is obviously really, really cool, but it's so personal, like, it is a really personal, that is a vulnerable place to put yourself in. And to release that and to tour with it and make, like, do that is very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is interesting, the point you're bringing up about the way the lyrics are written, of that sort of, like, you're telling a story, but you're telling the story almost to yourself.
Yeah.
And in a way that makes sense to you, rather than trying to convey that story to the audience. Because throughout this album, for me, I understood and got, both from the music and the lyrics, the way that Sufjan feels about his parents.
Yeah.
What I didn't get was a clear story of who his parents were.
And what actually all took place.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what events were. I got this very distinct feeling of what he felt about it, how he felt about his grief, how he dealt with it in different ways, and all that. But at times where he was talking about events in some of the songs, they were very disjointed, and that's very interesting that
yeah,
I didn't really pick up on that specifically, but now that you're sort of talking through that, I definitely get that feeling, because it's like, yeah, like, I know how Sufjan feels, but I don't really have this painted picture of these stories that he's half telling at this point.
Exactly.
So he's, I don't know, it's interesting that he's giving a bit of context,
yeah,
to the way he feels. And I, you know, I think it does a pretty good job to convey what he felt about it. So I hope that was his goal.
Yeah.
If his goal was storytelling, I don't think...
No, I don't think he hit the nail on the head there. And that's the thing, when you start writing, it's often fresh. Like, you start, this thing happens, and you just start jaunting down notes, and it's all there and it's done, and you want to leave it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, that was raw emotion that just went into that. I expressed what I felt, and it was real for me. And people get this, like, unabridged raw journal that of just whatever it is that was in your head at that moment, which is super interesting to look at and to read and be like, huh, what a weird ass guy. But yeah, at the same time, people can pick up on moods, but there's something missing in terms of communicating, like, what am I getting out of this? What can I take away from this? What is Sufjan's thoughts about this event, this kind of event, death in the family, and what can I take away from that? And that's not always the point. Like, it's not always like, I'm a moral teacher and I'm giving people opinions on what to do in these situations. But even with what he was doing, I felt like there could have been more. Not a bad job, because it was so raw and emotional. obviously,
yeah,
for him, I would imagine maybe he's just laughing like, ha, Dodds.
Maybe he's just hooting the stuff. Yeah, I don't know. Just,
I hope so.
If anyone is,
he is.
He is.
Yeah. Well, cool. Do you add any other closing notes, thoughts?
No. People loved it.
Yeah.
The overall reviews.
Very good reviews.
91 out of 100.
As we're recording, I think it came out just today.
Yeah, actually, today was the release day.
But yeah, people
obsessed.
4 out of 5 stars from AllMusic. Drowned in Sound gave it a 9 out of 10. Pitchfork gave it 9.3 out of 10.
Best album.
The Guardian gave it 5 out of 5 stars.
Yeah, wow. People say it was his best album yet. I do not think that at all.
I do not think so at all. I think, yeah, for me, sort of closing this off, my thoughts again, some of these songs are great as an album. I think it is a huge disappointment and one that I will not listen to again as an album.
Cool.
If I were to put a playlist of like good Sufjan songs, or put a playlist of, I don't know, easy listening acoustic songs, I would consider some of these songs because they are well written, well made. You know, he writes great lyrics. He sings well. Doubled vocals suck. And that's about all I have to say about it.
Yeah, for me, I would say if you're going to listen to this album,
listen to it lying down.
Listen to it lying down, face first on the ground, and have a strobe light in your room. And if you have any LSD on you, get rid of it, because you don't need it.
Yeah, you don't need it while you're hooting the stuff.
Just embrace the noise and ignore everything else. And just imagine you're on drugs.
Yeah.
And then you'll start to appreciate the repetition, I think. But if you're looking for a really interesting piece of art with dynamics, I would say keep
sifting. Listen to Age of Odds by Sufjan Stevens.
Anyways.
Or All Delighted People by Sufjan Stevens.
There's a whole lot of stuff.
Or Illinois by Sufjan. Yeah, I mean, really, yeah, I don't know. Other than his Christmas albums, I think this is an interesting autobiography. Yeah.
But yeah. Sufjan Stevens, Carrion Lowell, we are the Sound Escape. Thank you for listening to our somewhat formed ideas.
Steve learns guitar. Today's chord, A.
Jeez, you're making huge improvements, Steven.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you.
Aw.
Have a great night, everyone.